Bit of information about what is going on in the world regarding Israel. We are in the middle of a God's prophetic schedule series. It is, according to the slide, the 26th of our, we do not know how long it's going to be. It'll be a little while yet. But God's prophetic schedule tonight, or this morning really, is the beginning of the one world religion. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. Sorry, had you get nervous there for a moment. Revelation 17. The book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Won't that be amazing when he comes back for us? Interestingly, according to the Jerusalem Post, anti-Semitism has globally risen by 235%. 235% around the world. Another statistic, last month, the ADL, which keeps track, its Anti-Defamation League, released a report stating that anti-Semitism in the United States has increased by 360% from October the 7th to January the 7th, compared to the same period in the year prior, totaling over 3,200 incidents in only 3 months. From the UK, a December report by the British Communities Service Trust recorded at least 2,093 anti-Semitic incidents across the UK, the highest ever reported in 68-day period ever. So there, the anti-Semitism, as you well know me, often is equated with anti-Israel. This past week from the Israel 365 News Service, reported in May 3rd by David Cloud, actual article April 26th, be last week. On Thursday, the third intermediary day of Passover, Levites gathered in Jerusalem to reenact their musical role in the temple. A group of about two dozen Levites gathered in the old city to practice their singing. My wife and I listened to it and need to keep practicing, while wearing garments designed for use by the temple musicians in the third period. So what I'm saying to you is the temple is built today. They have people to sing in it tomorrow. So the fact that there's going to be a tribulational temple, they're going to build in this unbelief, and the abomination of desolation we've talked about, in that temple is where that abomination is going to be placed, and the Antichrist will turn against the Jew instead of being on their side. Scripture, let us just read a little bit of 17 there and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels that had the vials, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet beast, covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a great name, or was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, a difficult message to be sure. Help me, Lord, to speak clearly. May the fact of a coming one world religion be something that we understand as best that we can. Lord, help us to be sharing the truth of the gospel. There's but one true gospel. It centers around Christ, who is our Savior. But there's a growing number of people across the world who want to leave God out and develop a humanistic type religion. So Lord, help us to be clear in understanding you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, but through you, through Christ. And so Lord, help me today with those teaching downstairs. You are holy. You are righteous. Lord, we bow before you today. We gladly worship you. May our time together be profitable. May we go forth with more understanding and ability to share your word with others clearly. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. So in the book of Revelation, we have been talking about this end of time events, etc. Typically, we go verse by verse through a book. We've been trying to do that. We've been doing through Minor Prophets on Wednesday night. We just finished John a few months ago. We have gone through various books, etc. We went through Jude recently. But for we've taken the time out on a book by verse, verse by verse study, and we're looking at the God's prophetic schedule. One third of the Bible is prophecy in nature. So we're in this time. If you look on our little, if I think I've got a little thing on here. Let's see. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Okay, how about this one? Yes. Here we go. I got a little red mark there. So here we are. We're at church age. Wrong one. Church age right here. There we are. Right here. How about if I just walk over here? Church age, we're right here. I think we're right here on that line, just about ready for the rapture. It could be, around the edge of that little mark there. We could be, and when he goes up, we go up, and then there's going to be time. Now, what is not here is there's, it puts the tribulation right after, but there's a time. We don't know. But it doesn't happen immediately. The tribulation begins when the Antichrist signs his seven-year covenant with Israel. So the rapture does not signal the beginning of the tribulation. The signing of the covenant signals the beginning of the tribulation. So we have the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24, verse 8, Christ talked about the beginning of sorrows. I think right now we are in birth. We could be sort of like in Braxton Hicks contractions. We see all these things going on. But it's not the beginning of sorrows that Christ mentions. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. After that, we talk about the desecration of the temple. The Antichrist will go into the temple the Jews are looking to start and build and sing in, and he's going to probably offer some kind of a pig on the altar there, and then he's going to separate from the Jews and start persecuting them. And so that's all where we are right now. In our text, we are in here, this basic general area. It's after this desecration of the temple, and the great tribulation has begun in our text today. After the rapture, millions will be gone. There'll be people trying to explain this, I think, naturally. I've always had the idea that the UFOs will somehow play into this. But the world pretty much is going to be happy when Christians are gone. The world will, why would you say that? Well, in Revelation chapter 11, when the two witnesses are dead, you know what they do? They send gifts to everybody. It's like Christmas time when the two witnesses are gone. Even in the midst of all these things, they refuse to receive Christ as Savior. They would want to hide, fall on us, but they do not want to come to Christ during a tribulation time, although there will be millions that do, but a lot in the world still reject Christ. Even through all these difficult times, they still want their own way. We find that Christ talks about the abomination of desolation in Daniel chapter 24, verse 15. Daniel also talked about it in Daniel chapter 9. So his disciples, I believe, were well studied. Christ, can you imagine the teachings that we do not have in Scripture? How many things he taught his disciples as they were walking from one place to another. I think they were very doctrinally correct. I mean, different ones. Peter, we mentioned this morning, Mr. Lauder and I were talking about how we think Peter's just a fisherman who did not know much. Peter had a very good grasp of the Greek language. He had a very good grasp of who Christ was. He failed, yes. Did he not fail? I mean, he denied Christ 3 times. How many times have you denied him with your life and testimony? I would dare guess a far more than just 3. More than just 3. And so, but he gets on board, and Christ specifically in John 21, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Everybody around you, everything? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Peter's so humbled by that, and he gets fired up, doesn't he? And after the Holy Spirit comes in Acts 2, they all go out and they witness for Christ. Well, we are heading toward a one-world religion. This gentleman here is, at the forefront of the one-world religion in our world today. The World Economic Forum has 3 objectives, we might say, governmentally, economically, and religiously. The Antichrist will have 3 objectives, governmentally, economically, and religiously. And he's going to have the great whore mentioned there in our text there. Is the religious Babylon is going to wed with economic Babylon, and they're going to work together. That's why the woman is riding the beast with all those heads and horns, etc. It's going to be a one-world religion. Matter of fact, he wrote a book. This gentleman, Klaus Schwab, wrote a book. He's called COVID-19, The Great Reset. He thought that it was an opportunity rather than a catastrophe, an opportunity to gain some leverage. Klaus Schwab, started the World Economic Forum in 1951. He's been president ever since. He has met with the highest of all the most well-known people as King Charles in the picture there, but he was the Great Reset for England, etc. And the World Economic Forum had their recent meeting in Davos, Switzerland, and there were 1,600 business leaders from across the world, 800 plus of the world's top CEOs and chairmen of their boards, of 150 innovators, tech pioneers, and unicorn. Now, unicorn, I had to look that up, but it is a privately held startup company valued $1 billion or more. So, in other words, to be in this group, you pretty much need to have a lot and a lot and a lot of this. Who also signed? Who comes on the scene? In January of this year, UN Secretary General, the Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, the President of World Bank Group, the Director General of World Trade Organization, Secretary General of the NATO, General Director of the World Health Organization, Administrator for the United Nations Group Development, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So who goes here are those who want to be in control of a world. What they don't want is nations to have their own say and their own way. It is a global ideology. Global nature. They want, and I think sometimes they're able to create the crisis and then provide the solution. The COVID is now past, and so the new crisis, I believe, will be the climate change model. And so they're going to create a crisis. By the way, if you studied the climate change, I preached 3 messages on that last year. It does get warmer, but honestly, Trump, a lot of things are blown out of proportion, so they have a problem, and now we have a solution. I do not look for problems to create this load. I have enough problems to just come hand in glove, and so I don't need more problems to create solutions for, but this is an effective method of having a solution for the problem. The purpose there, according to their website, World Economic Forum, at the heart of our mission of improving the state of the world lies in the belief in the power of human ingenuity, entrepreneurship, innovation, and cooperation. It provides a global, impartial, and not-for-profit platform for meaningful connection between stakeholders to establish trust, to build initiatives for cooperation and progress. World Economic Forum purpose. That's the public purpose. There also is a religious purpose we'll see in just a moment. But what is missing from all that? God. God. You say, but Pastor, if they were a good organization, they would found their principles upon the Word of God. And they would follow what God says. We're going to put God first. And God is not about globalism. The Bible says in Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God is about nations. Does the Bible not say that he's going to preach the gospel to every kindred, tongue, nation? That's how God has it. We're not to be one general. Think back. There was one time, couple times on earth where everybody wanted to get along and be terribly bad. Or in Genesis 11, everybody wants to stay put, not divide. That is not God's plan. God has planned for people groups. And by the way, that is great for us. Because you can establish a nation built on principles. And your nation can be established on that. Every other nation doesn't have to be. But you stay in your nation and you're fine and dandy. And your nation can support God. Other nations don't. Well, your nation does. You have a little mini nation in your home. Other homes around here are not supporting God. Other homes around here could care less what's going on today in our church. But in your home, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what's got to be your motto. Joshua's motto is still pretty good today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God has established borders. And borders are not to be taken down. But if you are a global mindset, then you're probably going to try to remove the borders and allow things to happen. God's not against immigration done the right way. For the Israelite people, you could become an Israelite if you willingly signed on to their way of life. If you're a male, you had to be circumcised. If you want to become a Jewish proselyte, that's part of it. If you go to a country, then you should, my personal feeling, you should go under the right direction, the right way. And if you want to immigrate, great. Here's the process you go through. Illegal immigration is not a big problem for most other countries. Because they keep their standard for the most part. But that's the idea. We're going to tear down the borders. We're going to have one giant world, global economy, global theocracy, global what? One giant world religion. Now they have, the World Economic Forum does have a idea for motivation. It's socialism. It's interesting, socialism has never worked in any other country. It won't work here. It won't work anywhere else. The only countries and that really work are those founded upon the principles of God's word. If we'll just wake up, you are either learn from history or you're doomed to what? Repeat it. Yes. God's about having things. Matter of fact, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. So to covet something, where somebody has something. Jeremy got a brand new Phoenix bass boat. I'm going to be coveting that brand new Phoenix bass boat probably as he drives by me. Hi, Pastor. Going fishing. Next day, hi, Pastor. Going fishing. Next day, Dave's in the boat. Hi, Pastor. We're both going fishing. I'm like, man, I hear him out here mowing my yard. You have a hay baler for yards? I'm going to need one this week whenever it gets dry enough to mow. Maybe you want to borrow mine. Klaus Schwab said, why do I have so much of his picture? Because I think he is the number one person in the world who's trying to organize a global economy. The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. That's why he wrote the book, The Great Reset. So they have this agenda, as you well know. They want to change the world through whatever, the green world, make it green, etc., all the green agenda, etc., and all these things. And we'll just keep moving on. But he will stand behind his podium sometime, but he also has a religious agenda. You know, the atheist has a theology. Everybody has a theology. Agnostic, the atheist. Monotheist, which I'm a monotheist. There's three prominent monotheistic religions in the world. Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Those are the three prominent monotheistic, one theistic God, belief in one God. I believe there's one God and three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's only three major monotheistic religions. Polytheistic. You have plethora of gods, millions and millions of gods, or several gods, etc. So he has a religion. First of all, you will see on his podium, that's kind of grainy, but there is the nine-pointed star. Symbol of religious occult, it brings a lot of the physical traditions found in nine different religions, Buddhism, Catholicism, Taoism, Bai faith, Greek philosophy, and pursuit, according to what I understand, it's they're pursuing a relationship or interaction with cosmic deities. Can I just say what cosmic deities are? They're called demons, fallen angels. That's what they're pursuing a relationship with. The second thing on his podium is a bowl with a cross on between the horns. That's Mithraism. It is the worship or the esteem of creation. You can read about that online if you want to. But it's being turned over to a reprobate mind. It's the country that decides, I want to do this. I'm going to take the next step. And the next step. And finally, God says in Romans 1, let's go turn you over to your upside down mind. It's where we are in our world today. And many of those in the elite classes were upside down in our thinking. God has been jettisoned. And what's going to happen? We're going to continue to implode, I believe. God's already started. Has he not already started judgment upon America? He has. He has. There. And so the wrath of God comes. Now there's a different wrath. There's the cataclysmic wrath when the flood came, Sodom and Gomorrah. There's eternal wrath, those who reject Christ. There's tribulational wrath. We see it during the 7 years of tribulation time. And there's present day wrath. The Bible says in Romans, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Why the wrath? Because God hates sin. And we start out with sensuality. Did we repent? No. Did it mean we moved to homosexuality? Have we repented from that? No. We've actually signed on for it more and more. And then we turn over now to the gender ideology. So you keep going. We're just going to let you go. God says, turn you over to this reprobate mind. What a terrible place to be. It is. And thirdly, there's this little red. You can see the words. You probably cannot read them. I can't even read them from here. But it means, I couldn't read them if they were clear. It means, in not Latin, but it means in English, knowledge of immense power. Gnosticism. Remember the Gnostics in John talked about, if you come with us, we will have this extra, we've got the inroads here with angelic knowledge, and if you'll come with us, there's special privilege of knowledge. If you'll come and worship with us, and we will let you in on this special knowledge that we have because we are in the in crowd now. And so, spiritually speaking, that was Gnosticism. The Bible is clear. Christ gave us what we need to live by. The Bible's word is clear. Mr. Schwab is a transhumanist. Now, I had to look that up, too. What's a transhumanist? It is a philosophical and scientific movement that advocates the use of current and emerging technologies such as gender engineering, cryonics, artificial intelligence, AI, and nanotechnology to augment human capabilities and improve the human condition. Do you see what's all missing from this? It's any admission of a sinner who needs to be saved by grace, who needs to be obedient and humble themselves before an almighty God. This is humanism at its apex, if you would. We are something. Look at us. I put in my notes cyborg. So he's okay with cyborg. I mean, a half part and half human. I don't know. But that's the idea. Transhumanist. And this is the man who probably is the most influential person in all the world trying to get the new religious order, the coming one global climate. Do you see how we are ready as a world for the tribulation? One man to come in. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist at all. I'm not sure he's probably too old to be that. But we find one person to come in. He employs 700 people in Geneva, Switzerland, a beautiful place. I was looking online, headquarters, offices in New York, San Francisco, Tokyo, Beijing. He's the leader of those. But the leaders who follow him are not naive or stupid. They understand what's going on, but they want to be a part of this. They don't want to be left behind, I would say that way, possibly. But we are seeing this one world religion developing right before our very eyes. By the way, the religion today is taking a further drift more and more. Just this past week, from our own paper, United Methodists repeal ban on LGBTQ clergy. Quoting now from the article, United Methodists, now you remember the Methodists, the conservatives, a lot of them no longer are in the United Methodist Church. United Methodist delegates repealed their church's long-standing ban on LGBTQ clergy with no debate on Wednesday. This is past Wednesday, removing a rule forbidding self-avowed practicing homosexuals from being ordained or appointed as ministers. Later on the article, I read this. Applause broke out in parts of the convention hall Wednesday after the vote. A group of observers from LGBTQ advocacy groups embraced and with some tears, and one said, "Thanks be to God." I'm telling you, God had nothing to do with this. The approval of homosexual clergy. And I'm not saying these two men are that. I'm just saying that's the picture from the paper. So it's the approval. It's the lowering of the religious standards. We have a world that knows, a religious systems that know nothing of the gospel of Christ and the truth found therein. If we don't preach the gospel of Christ, you better just close your door and quit being a bad influence on people. This is what we have to preach. Nothing else. Nothing else. Now, but Pastor, why do you go to all these things? I do that to try to help us understand the gospel, to understand the Bible, and to understand where our world is going. You and I have to stand. Stop stooping and let us start standing for the Word of God. This religious unity is going to be void of the clear teaching of God's eternal Word. What we see here is history before it happens. Isn't it interesting? God writes history before it happens, and it's called prophecy. God bats 1,000 on every prophecy he's given. It's 1,000. In baseball, in that 1,000, you get a hit every single time. You never strike out. You never walk. It's perfect. That's what God is. Every time he writes about the future, it's today we call it spot on. Isn't it interesting how that people will not die for a political party, but I'm telling you, people will die for religious issues. And it's a shame because the Muslims will train their children to, and I've always found it interesting that the head of the Muslim groups do not go themselves. They train others to wrap bombs around themselves and blow themselves up. And while the directors of the department, I must be too important to do that. I don't know. But they train their children, and it's false. They give their lives to Allah, who's a false God. But millions through the centuries have given their life for Christ, who is the one true living God. It could even come, your children, it could come in my time, or your children and grandchildren will be faced with persecution if God doesn't come back before that, here even in America. Well, back to our text, Revelation 17:1, please. I'll just leave it on that, that's the last one. Revelation 17:1, then came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now we're zooming in. Again, we are in the immediate context. We have the desecration of the temple. This is the same one as the golden one, just doesn't have the gold on it. Desecration of the temple, that's where we are in this general area, this great tribulation time. The Antichrist, for the first 3.5 years, signs this agreement, and he treats the Jews with a care and concern. Oh, just trust in me, I will take care of you. And then he turns tail on the, after that, he desecrates the temple. I think the Antichrist, right in that period, dies and is revived, raised back to life during his time, and Satan either indwells him or tells him exactly everything to do. And for the last 3.5 years, it is the worst 3.5 years in human history, I think, as far as persecution, troubles, and time. We will be way up in here. It didn't show it up here, but we will be up here where it says this timeline. I think we'll be in heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But being the seat of Christ, I think, is the beginning, personally, the beginning of the time before up here before the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll be held accountable for what you did for Christ. Rewards, you'll also rewards. So the rapture is going to happen. If you look at Revelation 4, interesting verse, we don't find the church from Revelation 4, 1 all the way through 18. So that's why I'm a pre-tribulation rapturist. I believe that we are raptured out. Revelation 4, 1, he's just, the seven churches of Revelation are a marvelous study. One of four, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet calling with me, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. Now, many have taken that to mean allusion to the rapture of the church. The church is not found. You keep turning back over to 19. We're not found until 19. When we come back to rule and to reign with Christ, we're on our white horses, etc. He's coming back and he's gonna wreak havoc on the world. There's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to set up his 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's 75 days between that line before it starts. He's going to rule for 1,000 years. We're going to rule with him. We're not seen from here on in the book of Revelation until chapter 19, from 4:1 to 19. That's why I believe the church is not on the earth during the tribulation time. We're already with him. For we are the bride of Christ, and he doesn't want to call a beat up, mangled bride to his side. Personal opinion, personal feeling, but I think that matches with the historical, grammatical, literal interpretation of Scripture. I think that fits in there. We find then the Battle of Armageddon happens, but we're not there yet. We're back over this time. There's different times God will pause. If you think back, the first pause I would say to you, P-A-U-S-E, not P-A-W-S for all you cat lovers, pause, Genesis 2. God has all creation of the things. Very good. He goes back and chewed day 6, specifically the creation of Adam and Eve. And so here, he will go on, and then 17 and 18, we're going to pause for a minute, and we're going to go back and explain some of the things that have happened during what we've already talked about, and that is 17 and 18. We've had the abomination of desolation. There are seven trumpets. There are seven seals, which really line up very parallel nicely with Matthew chapter 24, 4 to 14, which is the beginning part of the tribulation period. And then we have the seven trumpets. We would cross those, probably the seven trumpets in this general area. And then the seven vials or bowls, and those judgments happening on the earth. There are those who believe what's called a pre-wrath rapture, and they believe that the rapture doesn't happen until God's really bad wrath starts over here. That would be Marvin Rosenthal, I believe that. Started about the 80s or 90s. But that's not got a lot of traction. There is the pre-trib, there's the mid-trib rapture, there's the pre-wrath, and there's the post-trib. All views about when the Christians will leave the world and go to heaven. I think the really one that fits is over here. I behold, in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. So what was unknown clearly, it wasn't detailed in the Old Testament. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, the twinkling of the eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, etc. That mystery is now shown to us. He's going to call his church out, cast us away. It's going to be an amazing thing. Won't it be? This is up in a moment, and there we go. Let's go right back to our text. I see the time. 17:1. The clock stopped about a half hour ago, so we're still got plenty of time. We've got a half hour no more. And there came one of the seven angels, 17:1, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sit upon many waters. The whore or harlot is also called the woman later on. A description of a religious entity. Not a description of a literal woman, but of a religious entity. She's dubbed the mother of harlots, also known as Mystery Babylon. There's an actual city called Babylon, and then there also is the Mystery Babylon. Mysterion describes something once hidden, but now has been revealed. I think I want to do a series of sermons at some point in time. The mysteries that are revealed from the Old into the New Testament, there's about 8 to 13, somewhere in that general neighborhood, but there's mysteries. And so this is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So we finally had this catching up. The rapture's happened. The Antichrist is on the scene. He's taken control. He's desecrated the temple. The Christians and the Jews are being persecuted mercilessly. Except unless you take the mark of the beast. By the way, we're not looking for the mark of the beast. We're looking for the upper taker. Us. And I'm looking for the undertaker too. But mostly I'm looking for the upper taker to come and take us up. So we don't have to. We're not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come back. So all these things don't get the real. Oh, we trust the Lord today. We trust the Lord tomorrow. We trust the Lord a year from now. If we're still waiting for Him to come back. You may be ask the missionary. Benjamin. Yes, I said. Now, what's your diet consist of? He says we have beans and rice for lunch. We have beans and rice for supper every single day. So we have beans and rice, and something else goes with it. You and I, we can live on beans and rice, right? Whoever has the biggest garden, I'm coming to your house every day for something out of your garden. So we're going to raise. I can't get my garden to grow. I can't grow much of anything except a bad attitude. Possibly I can grow that pretty well if I'm not careful. But we're going to trust the Lord to provide what we need. In the book of the Revelation, there are 404 verses and 44 refer to Babylon. So I'm telling you, 44 verses out of 404, it's something we need to know something about. There are two great cities in the scripture, over 900 references or allusion to, that would be Jerusalem. The other two is Babylon. Jerusalem, God's city. Babylon, the evil city, the evil one. So though they're in war against one another. The leaders of those two cities are war. I want to say Satan's at war. God's just fulfilling His plan. So it's not like it's like in the corner over here you have God who blah 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 God, and over here you have Satan and there's going to be there's not even needing to call it. I've called it a long time ago. God wins. Amen. Satan is allowed to do. Well, I don't understand that, Pastor. Neither do I understand all about God, and I'm glad about that. It's called T-R-U-S-T. S-T-A-Y-I-N-Y-O-U-R-L-A-N-E. Stay in your lane. God has it covered. We just trust Him. And my thing is to trust Him and to follow Him and be obedient to Him. He will do all these other things in His time if I will just take a step away from that. One pastor was saying how he leads tours to Jerusalem. And he talks about how important it is. And the Islam will say, that's, and it is, by the way, the third most holy city in all of Islam. So you would think, guess how many times the city of Jerusalem is mentioned in the Quran? 1,000? 500? 100? 50? 10? Zero. Jerusalem, the third most holy city in all of Islam, is never one time mentioned in the Quran. 900 times in the Bible, referred to. Well, so it's something that wasn't initially taught, but has been added to the teaching of Islam. So we're going to have a great religious reset. I'm not sure Klaus Schwab and his group will be able to get it all going. Maybe someone later on, but I'm telling you, that's the idea. Most important city in all the world is not Davos, Switzerland, or New York City, or LA, or London, Beijing. Most important city is God's city, where God is going to fulfill history. Mount of Calvary. You know all the things that happened on Calvary? Abraham, Isaac, the threshing floor of David, possibly where Goliath's head's buried. Christ crucified. Temple's going to be there. That basic Mount Moriah. So it's his city. I don't know what you're... I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. But think about this for just a moment. Do you know the Christ? We've been working on at our... I'm working in the economic development. Back in 2017, a county in our five counties, was started a project for a volunteer fire department house, a new firehouse, a CBD community block grant, CG, community government block, something like that. What's a block grant? They started 2017. Well, we've come up to last month, they had bidding, and because it's been 17 to 24, no bids fell within the money that was originally given. So a firehouse, which is greatly needing, because you can see through the walls and through the ceiling, you really need a new firehouse, volunteer fire department, was going to fall again by the wayside because they were $107,000 short. It's a lot of money to any of us. So about 2 weeks ago, the gentleman has been helping us. He talked to people at the Department of Local Government and started the process trying to find some funding. And so by last week, we met Wednesday, and this other gentleman is helping us. He said, why don't you have this person give so-and-so a call and see if he might get some help on that? Well, one call was made, and Thursday morning, this person went to the office of our governor and put the thing on his desk, and he signed it, and now the firehouse gets $107,000 more to finish the project. It's a lot of who you know. And I'm telling you, it's in who you know. If you're going to heaven, not a politician, not a preacher, not anything else. You must know Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Christ, that eternal state of hell is your home for eternity. But the thing is, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not even shaking the governor's hand yet. I'll bring it someday. But the governor needs to know Christ as Savior. Two people who will be running for office, they both need to know Christ as Savior. I don't care how high you up are on the ladder, you need to know Christ as Savior. If you do not know Christ as Savior, this revelation, all these things that are coming, you're going to be here on earth. You reject him, and if you live through it, you're going to suffer all that. But you don't have to. Isn't that the great news? You don't have to. Let's pray. Into the eyes of close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your care, concern, so much that you allowed your Son to come. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come that we might have life. Lord, we look around and the stage is being set, it would seem so clearly, for a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion. And Lord, that is the goal of many who are now in authority in many ways. Well, Lord, I know who's the real authority. And I know who that I need to know, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, if there be even one person, I can't help but believe there are some who have never truly trusted Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. Not my sin, not their parents' sin, not their grandpa's sin, not their child's sin, but for their sin. We have to be saved for confess our own sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, if there are any of those this morning, and you've spoken to their heart, may they not put it off yet again. And may they come forward and receive Christ. And Lord, for those of us who have named, we say we are believers, may we be the people we say we are. People who have been changed by the power of God. So live your life through us. What an amazing Sunday school lesson that we have living stones connected with you. So Lord, maybe be about your business this week and ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.